Psalms 95, and I'll give you a chance to get your hands free. We do a little confession here before we go into the message, usually each week or certainly most weeks. And so we invite everyone to join us. If you agree with this, you'll see the words on the screen, and we just invite you to join us. And those of you online as well, invite you to join us as we make this confession together. And I want to thank Clarence for holding the fort down by himself back there today. He said he got a mouse in each hand. but thank God for everyone who serves the Lord in any capacity. So would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Psalms 95 and verse 2. Psalm 95, verse 2, we read these words, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." Some translations just simply word that, enter his presence with thanksgiving. Then would you turn over or just look over to the 100th psalm, just a few psalms over if you have it in the book format, Psalms 100, and also verse 2. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before, again, his presence, or enter his presence with singing. And then verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. This morning, I really like to take the title of the message just from especially Psalms 95 and verse 2 and how it's worded in some translations, simply this, enter his presence with thanksgiving. Enter his presence with thanksgiving. When Adam and Eve sinned, when they broke God's commandment, that's what sin simply is. It's breaking God's commandment. If God says do something and we don't, it's sin. If God says don't do it and we do, that's sin, all right? But remember when Adam and Eve sinned, what they tried to do? It says the scripture says this, they hid from the presence of the Lord. It says they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid. And then that's the first book of the Bible. And then all the way to the last book of the Bible in the book of Revelation, we read that those who know God through the forgiveness of their sins and follow Jesus are going to live in his presence forever. So we see the contrast, trying to run from God's presence, those who are dwelling and living in God's presence and want his presence. And this morning, I really want to make a distinction here because the Bible teaches that God is everywhere present. His Holy Spirit is everywhere. Let me give you a verse for that. Psalms 139:7. Psalm 139:7, David asked, where can I go from your spirit and where can I flee from your presence? That's God's omnipresence, that God is everywhere. But there is a distinction between God's omnipresence and what I'd like to focus on this morning, the manifest presence of God. In the manifest presence of God, we sense his awesome holiness. Where Jeremiah, for example, wrote, where God says, talks about those who tremble in his presence. Some of us probably have experienced that. You've experienced the presence of God in a way that you sensed his awesome holiness. In the manifest presence of God, we may sense his just incredible power. In the manifest presence of God, we sense his overwhelming love for us. And it can bring us to the point of just, brokenness in a good way, of just humbling us and making our hearts soft and tender and knowing that even though we really don't deserve it, but yet he loves us so much. That's the manifest presence of God. If you want to write this scripture down, it's found in Exodus chapter 33. I'll read it to you. Exodus chapter 33. And we read these words in beginning in verse 14. Exodus 33:14. God is speaking, and he's telling Moses, he says that he said to my presence will go with you. And notice what accompanies God's presence. And I will give you rest. Then he, Moses, said to the Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't bring us up from here. He said, Lord, if your presence isn't going to go, do you see the difference between omnipresence, because God is everywhere, and his manifest presence? So he says this in verse 16, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. It is the presence of God that distinguished, or it should have, the people of God in the Old Testament, and it is the presence of God that should distinguish the church of Jesus Christ from any other group or organization in the world today. If we lose the presence of God, we just become another group, we just become another organization with religion as a cloak. Enter his presence with thanksgiving. Would you say that with me? Enter his presence with thanksgiving. And see, worship, and I'll just include it all together here. When I say worship, just for the sake of this series, I'm including thanksgiving and I'm including praise, all right? So when we worship and we thank and we praise the Lord, we invite the presence of God to be revealed or manifest among us. We invite his presence to be manifest in us when we come together. I said last week that worship is a main theme in Scripture. In fact, the message I shared last week will be the first out of, I hope, four messages to share on worship. And last week, I gave you a little simple definition. If you want to write this down, I think we still have, well, there it is, right there on the screen. The idea of worship means to honor, to love, and revere. So worship then is to honor, to love, and to revere. And last week, the message was called Worship Only God, based on the book of Revelation. And I'll just say this real quick for anyone listening or anyone here. If you weren't here last week, all the messages are on our website. So let me give it to you real quick. It's the initials of the church, CLM, and the word family. It's also in your bulletin. So clmfamily.org. And you can log on there and just go onto the website and you see messages and you just hit that and you'll see them all downloaded there. You can listen to them anytime on any type of device. There's also information about the church and so forth, upcoming events. So that's on there. But last week we shared a scripture as kind of like our theme through this series. I'll tell it to you in just a moment. But I said that we worship only God for two reasons, who he is and what he does. If we worship God for who he is first, not just what he does, then we draw to him in our times of trial. He's still worthy to be praised just because of who he is, not just what he does. What he does reveals who he is. So the reason he created is because he's creator. The reason he saves is because he's savior. So Jesus said this about worship in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. I'll try to do this, okay? John 4, 23 and 24. Jesus said, but the hour is coming, and now is. Would you say now? Now is when the true worshipers, I like that, I love that phrase, the true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. That means it comes from our hearts. That's the spirit. And then truth means it's genuine. He is worthy to be praised. True worship focuses on God and glorifies him. Now, we worship God because we know that our sin condemns us and separates us from God. But we believe that God loved us so much that Jesus suffered and died on the cross in judgment for our sins. He defeated sin, he defeated Satan, and he defeated death, and he reigns on high right now at the right hand of God the Father. And he saves anyone who will come to him, drawn by his Holy Spirit, to believe in Jesus from the heart as Lord. just like last week. Wasn't it a blessing to have the baptism last week and the numbers of people? It was just, I left encouraged, and I thank God, and even had a chance to, I met Regina at a church right down the road here for a little Southern Gospel concert that evening. So it was a blessing to have that fellowship and that time together. But worship, focusing on the Lord and drawing us to Him. So worship expresses our faith in God. Worship expresses our love to God, our reverence for God, and our gratitude to God. So let me ask you this morning. I'd like to get your input on this, okay? Because even though worship has the idea of to honor, love, revere, worship, because it comes from our hearts, can be expressed in different ways. Scripturally, okay? In the Bible, there are different ways worship is expressed. And so I want to ask you to help me, and I'll give you one, all right? Enter his gates with, all right, with praise, thanksgiving. So all of, like today, let me just start with that one. Enter his presence with thanksgiving. So giving thanks is an expression of our worship. What else? Anyone else? Just say something if you know anything at all in the scripture. How else is worship described or expressed in the Bible? Praise. Giving God praise. All right. What else? We just finished about half an hour of it. All right. Singing. All right. We can sing and express our worship. Not every song is worship, but we can express our worship to God in song, right? What else? Pray. That's right. All of that is an expression of we're directing it toward God. What else? To love. That's right. That's expressed in different ways. How about this? I shared a testimony in last week's message of someone who had lost, you know, someone very close to them, a friend. And this lady said she didn't even want to go to church that first Sunday, and her husband kind of coaxed her into going. And she got around people, and she goes in when they're all praising the Lord, clapping their hands, and she just sat down, and then she said, I realize I don't want people to just kind of wonder what's wrong with me. She stood up, she said, I couldn't even sing, but I could lift my hands. And as she did that, she started to experience the Lord's peace in his presence. Anything else? To bow or to kneel, that's exactly right. Those are all expressions of worship. You know, we can play instruments as an expression of worship. We can give and serve. Let me give you this one. Exodus, if you want to write it down, Exodus chapter 15. Let me read it to you. Exodus chapter 15, and then I want to give you quickly three ways of just that are three blessings associated with the presence of the Lord. But in Exodus chapter 15 and beginning in verse 11, we read these words. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? That's an expression of worship because we're declaring and confessing his greatness. Thank God for his goodness and thank God for his blessings. That's Exodus 15, 11, verse 12. You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. For in your mercy, you led them forth, the people whom you have redeemed. Those type of words belong to God and to God alone. We can honor people, we thank people, we appreciate people, we can applaud people, but we only worship God. So we give him the glory. So let me give you these real quick. If you want to turn to the New Testament book of Acts, it's the fifth book in the New Testament. If you hold your spot, I'll give you a couple other scripture references, but if you would join me in Acts chapter 2, and I'll give you three of the blessings of God's presence. There are more than three, but these three I think are very important, and I hope they will encourage you today. Three blessings associated with the Lord's presence, and let me just go ahead and give you the first one. Transformation. The first one is transformation, and there's scripture reference here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, 2 Corinthians 3, 15 through 18. I want to read you this from the ESV in just a moment. And the Bible says this, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, in other words, when the scripture is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Thank God for that. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Remember that phrase, please. Beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. We're being changed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. When we turn to the Lord in faith and receive Jesus as Lord in our hearts, God begins a lifelong process of conforming us into the image of His Son. And one of the ways that He changes us from the inside out is that we behold His glory in worship. There is another way the Bible tells us we're transformed, by renewing our mind. So beholding His glory and renewing our mind. Let me give you this scripture if you want to write it down. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, two verses, verses 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, indeed it came to pass, this is when the temple was dedicated, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, so here we got singers and musicians united as one, giving the Lord praise. The Bible says this, when they said, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. Thank God, that's the manifest presence of God. And you see, when God showed up, when the musicians and singers were as one in giving Him praise, they were worshiping in spirit and in truth, and God said, I'm going to set up a throne right there. That's why the Bible says God inhabits, or He is enthroned in the praises of His people. That's the manifest presence of God. And so when we worship the Lord in that way, the word there in the scripture in 2 Corinthians said, beholding the glory of the Lord, that word also means reflecting. It's translated both ways. And I like how, as a father and son who wrote a devotion called Experiencing God Every Day, their names are Henry and Richard Blackaby, and this is what they wrote. True worship produces a transformed life reflecting the one who has been worshiped. So we behold Him, He does a work of grace in our hearts by His Spirit, and then we grow from one level of glory to another level, and we reflect Him. Does that make sense? We behold the glory of the Lord. You see how important it is, though? Enter His presence with singing and enter His presence with thanksgiving. That's the part I really want to focus on today, because that thanksgiving, again, can be expressed in different ways, but it comes from the heart. Enter His presence with thanksgiving. Would you say that with me? Enter His presence with thanksgiving. So the first blessing is transformation. The second is refreshing. If you're there in Acts chapter 2, I'll read a verse here. Acts chapter 2 and verse 28. The Bible says this, this message that is spoken on the day of Pentecost, which is today as a matter of fact, when the outpouring of God's Spirit came, 40 days or 50 days rather after Jesus came to life from the dead. And the Bible says this, verse 28, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy, where? In your presence. You see that? So there is fullness of joy. And then over in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, we read these words. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, repent, that means turn, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I've come to the place where I realize I just have to say, Lord, I need your presence. I don't need just another this. I don't need just another that. I thank you for all of those blessings, but I need your presence. I need you to reveal yourself in such a way that I can be changed, that I can be transformed. I need your presence, Lord, because I'm weary in soul right now and I need to be refreshed and I'm down and I need some joy. Help me, Lord. See, then enter His presence with thanksgiving. Enter His presence with thanksgiving. Would you turn to someone there next to you and just tell them, enter His presence with thanksgiving? I looked up this word where it says refreshing. It's only found once, one other place in the New Testament, because it's a, you know, the New Testament word. And it's related to the word for cool, like something getting cool. And I was thinking about, I know right now we're having some cool weather, but we're going to eventually warm up. And it reminded me of sometimes I'm out cutting the grass, real high, you know, humidity and hot. And you just, I've done this before. I try to time it. We have a tree in one side of the yard. And it, man, I've never checked it, but I guess it's about a 10 or 15 degree difference in the temperature, being out in the sun and getting under that. And I time it so that when I cut grass, I start on the sun side. And the hotter I get, the more in the shade I get. And I've actually been out there a couple times, because see, I think I'm still like 20, and I'm not. And I just have to stop, because I feel something, and I just get up under that, and that breeze, it's a cool breeze, it's so refreshing, it feels so good. And remember in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned, it says they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day? Refreshing. It reminds us that in the presence of the Lord, there is that time of refreshing. And there is the acknowledgement of what Jesus did at Calvary to restore what Adam and Eve lost. So we can have access. Thank God for His Holy Spirit in us, and we have 24/7 access to God. But there's something about thanksgiving and praise and worship that opens that door for God to come in and reveal Himself to us in that way. I know that God wants us to make time to fellowship with Him, and to just enjoy being with Him. Aren't we so busy today? It doesn't matter what season of life you're in. So many of us are just here and there, and if we could just make a little time. Sometimes we wear ourselves out, and all we need is to make a little time to be with Jesus and to give Him thanks and worship and praise and let Him refresh us in His presence and transform us. And then finally, victory. And if you'll turn to Acts chapter 4. So three of these blessings, transformation, refreshing, and victory. And I've got a couple of verses there. Let me read you that first one. It's Psalms 18:3. Then we'll read the one in Acts 4. Psalms 18:3, the Bible says this, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Do you see the connection? I'm going to call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved. See, when we worship and praise and giving thanks to God invites His presence into our spiritual battles. One of the choruses we sing sometimes says, this is how I fight my battles. It's giving Him praise. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You, Lord. So that's the expression of we're inviting His presence into our victory comes from Jesus. And we can receive the victory through Him, not only to overcome a temptation to sin. Notice how this word's in Acts chapter 4, verse 24. In Acts chapter 4, verse 24, the apostles were threatened, and they said, you better not preach in the name of Jesus any longer. We're going to arrest you. We're going to beat you. And so they went back to the other believers, and this is what it says. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God, notice again, with one accord, that's so important, and said, Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And they're just starting their, someone mentioned prayer. They started off not just woe is me, and I know there's a place to be real with God, but how about including some praise in our prayers and acknowledgement of the one we are speaking to, and there's nothing too hard for Him. All things are possible with God. So we acknowledge His greatness, and then this is how the Lord responded in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. You see how that's the manifest presence of God? It wasn't all over the whole earth, but where they were gathered, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So when we invite God in through worship and praise, and we're thanking Him, that yes, it will give us help to overcome a temptation to sin, but it will also help us to do God's will when it's difficult. Because they could have taken the easy road out and just say, you know what, it's against the law now. I don't have any choice. They didn't do that. They said, we got to be true to God and not to man. So in this case, the law of man was directly violating the scripture. And they said, we've got to obey God rather than man. But they had the victory because they invited God in through praise and worship and thanksgiving. Do you see why the devil wants to keep us from the presence of the Lord? He don't want us to be refreshed. He doesn't want us to have victory. He doesn't want us to be changed into the image of Christ. He is just fine if we stay like we are and actually become a little more like him. So we have to choose. I'm going to worship my God. By God's grace, I'm going to thank him and I'm going to praise him because he is worthy to be praised. And I thank God for all he does, but I praise him for who he is. I thank him for who he is, and I worship him for who he is. If you want to write this scripture down, many times I pray it over you at the end of the service. It's Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. Numbers chapter 6, and the Bible says this, and then we'll prepare for the communion time. Verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you or guard you, protect you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Do you see how the Lord's face is linked with God's grace or favor? Then verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord's countenance is associated with his peace. But here's what we don't see in the Hebrew, or we don't see it in English. It is in the Hebrew. The word there for face and the word for countenance are the same Hebrew word translated presence. God's blessing is related to his presence. So when it says the Lord bless you, it literally says here in verse 25, the Lord make his presence shine upon you and be gracious to you. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his presence upon you and give you peace. As we share the communion this morning, you know, I was reminded of the bread. Remember in the temple, there was a table and it had 12 loaves of bread, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, representing like the fellowship that each one represent before the Lord. Anyone remember what that bread was called? That's right. Showbread. Showbread. That comes from two words. The Hebrew word for bread and the exact same word for presence. It literally means the bread of his presence. And when they were not just them, when we are in the presence of the Lord, we feast on him. He feeds us and he strengthens us to be able to go out and be his witnesses and to face the battles and whatever we have when we leave the presence of the Lord in this place. But thank God we never actually have to leave his presence because of his indwelling Holy Spirit. So this morning, as we prepare for the communion together, I just want to ask you, between you and the Lord, will you enter his presence with thanksgiving this morning? Will you enter the presence of the Lord in communion from your own heart, in your own way, giving him thanks, thanking him for who he is, thanking him for what he's done, thanking him for the cross, thanking him for the blood, thanking him for, and in fact, you know, the Bible says, let a man examine himself or a woman examine herself before we share communion. Let's repent of any sin and lay aside any hindrance and enter completely and joyfully into the presence of the Lord today. And I want to encourage you to receive his love, receive his grace, receive his peace, receive his victory in fellowship. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? And can we just stand together? I'll lead us in prayer. But again, from your own heart, would you just make sure there's nothing between your heart and God's or anyone else? Let's just lay it before the Lord and let's enter his presence with joy as we share this communion time. All right? Lord, we ask you to just come right now and search our hearts. Search our thoughts. Lord, our ways. I pray that your spirit would reveal anything to us that would hinder us right now from your presence. Lord, I pray draw us to yourself. Maybe someone even today, here or someone watching, listening, they feel like they're so far from you. Help them to know you're a God who's near. Yes. And you've opened your heart, you've opened your arms. All we have to do is believe you and come to you. And we can be forgiven. We can be cleansed. We can be comforted and strengthened, Lord. So help us to trust you and to come into your presence today. In Jesus' name.